A few years ago, I had an opportunity to interview Michael Fitzhugh Bell with his incredible story, his book at the time, The Invisible Crime, Illegal Microchip Implants and Microwave Technology and Their Use Against Humanity. He had an incredible story. He's going to be updating us with the story now, and his latest work is called The Invisible Crime Part 2, and we'll get into it with Michael Fitzhugh Bell in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Whistleblower Michael Fitzhugh Bell is a victim of what is referred to as an unacknowledged special access program created by the United States government, believed to be part of the military black ops portion of the shadow government. He is victimized through the misuse of advanced nanotechnology, biomedical devices embedded throughout his body, using clandestine government classified technologies. His latest work is called The Invisible Crime Part 2, a targeted individual, that would be him, synthetic telepathy and global criminal biomedical human experimentation. Michael, welcome back. I hope you're doing okay.
Yes, it's nice to be here, George. Thanks for having me. It's nice to be back on Coast to Coast.
And it continues with you, doesn't it? They haven't stopped.
The story continues. The story goes on.
Michael, for those who did not hear you a couple of years ago, kind of tell us what happened to you, what's going on now.
Sure. The introduction would be that I was drugged and abducted from an apartment in Hollywood where I was a writer and aspiring screenwriter. I remember the perpetrators were wearing frightening masks and at one point lying on a stainless steel table with a bright light shining on me and surgeons standing over me wearing surgical masks. And then I woke up thinking it was the next morning, but to my horror, I discovered that it was actually 8 days later. And my body was riddled with dozens of tiny corresponding and symmetrical covert cosmetic surgical incision scars. I consulted with several private investigators and a former CIA agent that informed me that it sounded like I'd become what is known as a targeted individual and I'd possibly been implanted with advanced nanotechnology biomedical devices. So I literally traveled around the world collecting medical evidence in the forms of MRIs, ultrasound, X-rays, all with verified and validated real doctors' reports, all clearly showing foreign objects directly beneath the covert surgical incision scars. Jeez. And the private investigators and former CIA agent all told me that I was likely part of a massive field test and the legal clinical trial of human experimentation using classified technologies. And people would want to know what this is. It's really what was referred to as a neuroweapon. It's really the most advanced weapon system ever created by mankind and a weapon in every sense of the word. And this program, which is widely recognized, as you said, an unacknowledged special access program, believed to be part of the military-industrial complex, which is composed of the military black ops, the military, the Department of Defense, the NSA, the Department of Justice, and the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, or DARPA. And it's a human experimentation program that causes extreme physical and psychological terror and torture. This kind of illegal human experimentation is considered a war crime and is the highest ranking type of capital crime punishable by the death penalty. And as we know, technology is way ahead of the law, and the law has a lot of catching up to do.
My God. Do you think you were in just the wrong place at the wrong time, Michael? Why you?
I've asked myself that question many times. I believe it may have stemmed. I can think of several reasons, but I may have been at the wrong place at the wrong time, but I believe it may have actually stemmed from an accident that I was responsible for when I was 19 years old, and the person traveling with me was injured very badly. And this person happened to come from one of the most powerful, influential, wealthiest families in the world with extremely strong political and government ties. So I have to consider that. as an obvious possibility. Although no one has come forward to claim responsibility, I believe that that certainly has to be considered as a possible and plausible possibility for me.
Almost like a vendetta?
Perhaps something like that. When you're dealing with a family that has that much power, those kind of things can happen to people.
How many people are like you that you think have been abducted and put into these kinds of situations?
Well, there's the estimates are somewhere. I've heard several different estimates, but it's somewhere around 100,000 people in the United States. I've heard. I don't know. And also, there are different levels of being targeted. Mm. Where there is no really good or acceptable level, there are certainly levels that are more intense and are of a higher expense and are of a higher nature and require more people, more financing. So at my level of targeting in the second book, The Invisible Crime Part 2, I describe my level of targeting as being a signature target or a hard target. That's believed to be the highest level of this. And this program is, there's nothing that is more secret than this. This is the world's biggest secret. There is nothing bigger than this. This is what's called monarch level. This is above top secret. This is above what even the president would be apprised of. This is the most secret and the biggest secret ever in the history of mankind. Nothing could be bigger.
Michael, since this has been happening to you, what has happened to your life? Are you able to function normally or not?
Well, I'm a writer, and I have been a writer all my life, so I'm still able to do my writing. But if I were just to have a normal, regular 9-to-5 job, I don't believe I would be able to continue with a job like that. Luckily, I've been able to write and continue to write, but certainly there are certain aspects of the crime that take its toll on me, especially the electronic sleep deprivation. That's something that is very difficult to deal with. And I believe as I do my research, I came across some of the reasons why targeted individuals are believed to being exploited. And they include medical testing to see if certain types of cancer can be caused or mutated simply through the power of suggestion, various unknown mind control experiments, also ritualistic torture and sadistic gratification, psychological and physical experimentation, human trafficking, perverse forms of entertainment and voyeurism, also to see if the sexual orientation of a person can be changed, heterosexual to homosexual, homosexual to heterosexual, also to determine which techniques and methods get the best results and which techniques and methods that the target individual capitulates the quickest to, and also to have targeted individuals believe absurd things that don't happen or exist. For an example, the U.S. intelligence community convinced a young Muslim at Guantanamo Bay that he'd lost his hands and legs, even though he had not lost them.
They were clearly there, right? You could look at them.
They were clearly there, but he was being mind controlled. This is part of the, these are so many different cruel and inhumane, barbaric experiments. Also to determine if targeted individuals can be influenced to commit treason or assassinate powerful political figures and not remember it, so sort of like a Manchurian candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And also to see if targeted individuals can be made to think about dishonest actions when they're perfectly honest. Those are some of the basic reasons believed to be. And also, I think once a person becomes a targeted individual, I don't know of a single person who has been a victim of mind control and ever became free of those effects. It's believed to last for your life. And it's also, I think, part of the experiment is to see if a person can actually live a normal life.
Michael, aren't you putting your life in danger, though, going public with all this?
I am, but I believe that I can't just sit on my hands and keep this to myself. I have to try to my best to try to expose this crime. That's what, oh, one of the things I wanted to bring up. You just reminded me of something, George. I wanted to say something, too. For people that don't know me, sometimes I think that my voice and the way that I communicate and speak on an interview like this, my voice may sound frantic or a little bit anxious or panicky. And I believe that when this happens, I believe that my perpetrators are using frequency and signal weapons, neuro weapons on me, trying to diminish my ability to communicate effectively to the listeners, jamming and dulling my focus, disorienting me as I try to form and convey thoughts, even sometimes mid-sentence, compromising my credibility. So I just wanted to let people know that sometimes it's difficult to just complete a thought sometimes, especially during these interviews, because it's during an interview like this where the criminal groups, the perpetrators, the criminals are being exposed and they don't like it. And they're doing their best to conceal this crime and to make me look incredible and compromise my credibility is a way for them to be able to dismiss what I'm sharing here tonight.
Well, this is it's a remarkable story, and it kind of reminds me of what has been going on where diplomats in the U.S. Embassy in Cuba are suffering yes. brain disorders now after they claim that they were bombarded by some kind of electromagnetic pulse or something. What do you think of that?
That's right. Yes, the U.S. diplomats in Cuba, Canada, and China claimed that they were attacked and tortured by ultrasonic acoustic weapons causing severe headaches, pain, and permanent hearing damage. And this is the interesting part. The FBI, medical services, and doctors were quick to respond and seemed quite familiar with the effects
they
of
sure
these
were.
Dangerous covert yeah. weapons. Yet, targeted individuals that are being attacked by what is believed to be identical covert weapons are dismissed and declared mentally ill to cover up the truth. And even these diplomats are having a hard time. If you've watched any of the interviews on 60 Minutes, they've had a series and they're trying to cover up what's happened to them. So you can see, even when you're a diplomat, how hard it is to go to expose this crime. And imagine if you're a nobody, like most target individuals. They're not people that are diplomats or celebrities, people that are well known. So it's even more difficult for them to break through and gain credibility. But yes, even the diplomats are having a terrible time. And each day I see articles showing what's happened to them and hearing their interviews. And also, even they are saying that the government is trying to cover up this crime. So it's definitely being tried. They've invested over the course of the beginning of this crime since its inception, who knows when it started. It's believed that these technologies are somewhere between 50, 70, maybe even 100 years of where we are today as a global community. So you can imagine how important it is to keep that a secret and to keep nobody mm-hmm. from knowing what it is. And even though it's huge and it's big, especially with the target individuals and their communities all being involved, so many people are involved on so many levels, yet it remains secret. And the crime is ensconced in secrecy and deception. That's part of the reason why it's been able to survive. And if you look at some of the statistics that I've researched through a former CIA agent and private investigators. It's estimated, this is, a huge amount of taxpayer money. $4 billion are believed to be spent for every 1,000 victims of this psychological warfare program. So that's, if you break it down, that's $1 billion for every 250 targeted individuals.
What has this done, Michael, to your life?
Oh, it's, every aspect of my life is affected by this, from where I live, from where I've had to move, how I interact with people, and usually every community that I move to or I go to, travel to, the criminal group is able to influence that community into both community intimidation and harassment. So it's really discrimination.
Do people who first hear this story, if they meet you on the streets, let's say, think that, you know what, there's something wrong with this guy, or he's nutty?
Well, yeah,
or something.
It's hard to bring it up until I show them their scars. And when I show them their scars, there has literally been no person that I have not found some evidence of these covert surgery scars on. I have yet to find a person. And when I find those scars that they were unaware of, I blow their mind literally in that second when I show it to them. And also, I believe that, you look at something like the movie The Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Three years ago, the movie The Matrix was just a tale of science fiction, but it's beginning to look more like a documentary every day.
Yep. And producers were fed some information on that one.
Right. It's not a conspiracy theory when the information is being made public. And I hope we get to, there's a couple of different aspects that we haven't addressed in the past. I have a couple of things I hope we get a chance to get to. One's the terror watch list, which is one of the ways that targeted individuals are believed to be brought into the group. Also, BCI, the brain-to-computer interface, also perpetrator groups and categories and handler teams. These are things that I haven't discussed with you in the past. I hope we get a chance to get
sure.
to.
Sure, absolutely. We've got an hour and a half to go still, Michael, so we got a lot of time. Tell me about the brain-to-computer interface. What is that?
Sure. The BCI, brain-computer interface, this technology can be compared to that of a cell phone in that it's an open two-way communication, except that the line of communication using classified technology is constant and continuous. Once initiated, the interaction between the victim's brain and a supercomputer is relentless and never-ending, forecast to be a lifelong effect of global criminal biomedical human experimentation. Classified technology signals are believed to be able to read a human being's thoughts in real time, as well as being able of putting back information back into the target individual's brain in real time. This exchange of information is often referred to as synthetic telepathy or bidirectional interface technology or brain-to-computer interface. Now, the voice-to-skull, or V2K, is often used as the description for this process of this very specific classified technology in which voices and or projected auditory effects are widely reported to be achieved through the biomedical nanotechnology devices that have been believed to be inserted directly into the victim's brain via the nasal passage and or through the use of covert cochlear implant technology, also implanted directly into the ear canal.
Wow.
So, you're talking about this is everything that they talked about in The Matrix, but it's
real stuff. Yeah. Michael, stay with us. We're going to come back and talk about the terror watch list and why you believe targeted individuals are put on that list. And then I'll ask you if you are. We'll be back. Welcome back. Michael Fitzhugh Bell with it. George Norrie here with you. Michael, was there ever a time you thought, I'm going crazy. This can't be happening. Did you ever think of that?
For sure. In the beginning, I also recognize now, because we tend to see things 20/20. If we look back, if we look at our past, we can see things clearly, whereas in the moment we weren't able to see them. So I believe that, as I said before, when I was 19 years old, I believe that this may have gone back to then or even before. I was certainly, I believe that I was being surveillanced and monitored and perhaps even manipulated to some point when I was younger. But it wasn't until December of 2001, just after 9/11, that I realized that something terribly wrong was happening to me. In the beginning, I thought it was some kind of elaborate practical joke, and I was waiting for a camera crew and a team to come out. But the things that were happening to me, being drugged and people breaking into my apartment and making small but noticeable damage to my personal possessions, my vehicle, this was going way beyond anything that a practical joke. I mean, when you're drugging someone, it's not a joke anymore. And so, but the more I investigated and talked to people like Roger Tulsis, who has been on the show with me before and been on Coast to Coast many times, made me, I'd say in the first 6 months, I discovered a lot of things that takes years or even decades for some targeted individuals to discover. And most of the people, there are people that never are really able to put the pieces of the puzzle together and figure out what's happening. They know something's wrong, but they can't, when they try to describe it to people, it makes it sound like they're delusional because the crime is so advanced and so secret, and the technologies are so advanced and so sophisticated that it's, and so complex that it's difficult for the average human being to comprehend a level of sophistication like that. So, and people just aren't able to really put their finger on it. But I was able to, thanks to private investigators and a former CIA agent, that without them, and the information that other targeted individuals who believed to be targeted individuals, so many of our stories were so similar that from different parts of the world too, almost identical in so many ways that it couldn't be overlooked. And it's hard to, most people in your life, like your family and friends, really don't want to hear about the crime. They don't want to hear about the crime. They don't want to hear about what's happening to you, just as they don't want to hear about anything that's happening bad to you. Like if you were suffering from cancer, they might be sympathetic and empathetic toward you, but they don't want to hear about all the problems that you're suffering. No one does. So it's difficult to present them to people in a way that they can understand and appreciate without, you know, making them say, yeah, I don't really want to hear. And also, I have had people, though, that I was able to convince quickly because they had noticed things in their own lives. And even I've had some people say, you know, I was doing just fine until I heard about you and your books. And now I'm a little messed up.
You woke them up.
But I tell them it's better to know. Always in life, it's better to know than to not know.
Well, this happened just a couple weeks ago. A federal judge ruled that a federal government database that compiles people deemed to be known or suspected terrorists violates the rights of American citizens who are on that watch list, calling into question the constitutionality of the major tool the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security use for screening potential terrorism suspects. Are you on that list?
I believe that I might be, because I have a friend who has a very high up government contact, and this friend of mine is a high end targeted individual and has been for about 20 years or more, and he's on the list. And he didn't know me when his contact let him know that he was on the list, but he was pretty sure that I'm probably on it too.
Are you a terror risk?
I don't think so. I'm not.
I don't think you are either.
No, I mean, there's nothing I've ever done. I don't think like that. It's just what happens is when you're on that list, it gives the groups permission to use the funding and the surveillance against you. You see, it legitimizes their, if you're on the list, it legitimizes as much money as they want to spend on you. And for someone like me, it's estimated that to be at the level of surveillance that I'm at for a year is approximately $4 million each and every year. So that's a lot of money. So if you're on the list, though, there is no amount of money that's too high. There's nothing that can't be accomplished, because at that level, the money is limitless. The resources are endless. And it's been estimated that there's been trillions of dollars over the years poured into these programs, not just this program, but other unacknowledged special access programs. This is one of them, but there's many, and ones that we don't even know about. And also, it's believed that targeted individuals are in many different, can be in many different programs, unacknowledged special access programs. For instance, I'm also, I believe, in the U.S. Biological Weapons Program with the Morgellons disease. But
I was going to say, on top of everything else, you have Morgellons.
Right. Morgellons, for the people that don't know, Morgellons disease is an uncommon, rare, unacknowledged skin disorder experienced by a small percentage of target individuals, alleged to be a man-made pathogen or parasite, a synthetic microorganism, part of the U.S. Biological Weapons Program, believed to be. Victims are routinely falsely labeled with delusional parasitosis, although their claims may be real. Criminal intentional misdiagnosis can be used as a weapon against the victim.
Do you feel like you have little bugs growing under your skin?
I don't feel I have that, but in both books, I describe a medication that I had to take to eliminate lesions and
fibers.
It's the small fibers, and I guess you could say that there is a feeling of something crawling on. It's actually in the hair follicle that which makes it feel like something is moving on your skin, but it's actually this which believed to be a synthetic worm that bases itself in the hair follicle of the victim. So that's definitely something that most people wouldn't understand. And most of the doctors, that's what I was going to say. This crime, well, you have to remember, too, that targeted individuals are the direct result of a corrupt government. And this crime, which is based in secrecy and deception, could not exist without the complicity and acquiescence of the United States government, the medical community, and law enforcement. And it has been suggested, and it's not difficult to perceive and understand, that corrupt judges and prosecutors can be bought and paid for to further the agenda of the criminal cabal. And as we were saying, it's widely recognized that one of the ways that people can become target individuals is that they've been wrongfully, illegally placed on the terror watch list. And then a FISA warrant, like the one that was issued against Trump, can be issued against a person that allows for surveillance against foreign spies or persons of interest. And it's not hard to get on that list. And even people that are acquitted in a court or saw that their charges were dropped are still potential nominees for watch listing. So as long as reasonable suspicion has been established, these people can continue to be watch listed. And I would say the majority of the people are innocent citizens like myself. And It's just that people have the ability to place them on the watch list, and then that allows for the funding and the experiments. And you know, it's a very difficult situation to get out of, or to even have anyone believe you.
Are you still being monitored, Michael, in your opinion?
Oh yeah, yes. I mean, there isn't nearly every aspect of my life. I mean, even things like, I mean, I wanted to. This is something I didn't discuss before. That the frequencies and signals that I'm being saturated in, there's a side effect to that too. I mean, you have to think of all these. You know, if you're being surveillanced and observed, and you're being bathed in frequencies and signals 24/7, because of my constant and continuous exposure to these frequencies and signals that are generated through the classified technologies that I'm saturated in 24/7, my natural metabolism has been artificially sped up to the point where I have an enormous calorie intake just to maintain a normal, healthy weight. Now, I'm 57 years old, and the average normal calorie intake for a regular person my age would be somewhere between 2,500 and 3,000 calories a day. Now, I'm burning between 6,000 and 10,000 calories every single day, even at rest, just to let people know how many calories that is.
Jeez, what do you weigh?
I weigh about 180, and I'm 6'2". It's what I'm supposed to, but I have to eat an enormous amount of food
to keep that on.
Yeah, it's you would have to say that this is the same amount of calories that a mountaineer climbing Mount Everest would require on summit day. That's how many I require every day. And if I don't consume enough calories, my weight drops off very quickly. So it's scary too. I mean, I have to force feed myself times when I'm not even hungry, because I realize it. And again, the reference to the mountain every day, it's like climbing a mountain. I have to consume all these calories. I have to live my life. And then I wake up the next morning at base camp, having to start up the mountain again. You never really, you're constantly trying, you're burning, my metabolism is burning the calories off so quickly that it's hard for, and, you know, people don't understand. I guess to some degree, it may be fair to say that to lose weight would be, if you were disciplined, would be to some extent less expensive or even free if you were disciplined, maybe for some people. It depends on the metabolism. But for someone who has a sped up metabolism artificially like me, that's very expensive and a huge effort to consume. Hopefully in the next thing that I write, I'm going to show a picture of what an average intake would be for a single day for me. And you imagine doing that not just one day, but every single day. And if you don't do it, you lose weight very quickly. So it's frightening too. And having to eat when you're not even hungry, just to maintain the weight.
Mm-hmm. That's something
very
else.
Very scary. Oh, also too, I'm hoping that we might be able to. I wanted to, if we could, talk about the perpetrator groups and categories and the handler teams, which I don't think I've shared.
Yeah, tell us about the handler teams. Who are they? What are they?
My information is based on information I've gathered from private investigators, a former CIA agent, corresponding with and interviewing thousands of target individuals from around the world, and my own personal research and experience. Now, the perpetrators that are part of the global criminal cartel can be broken down into three basic categories. The primary are handler teams composed of operatives believed to be using classified technologies which enable remote viewing, monitoring, tracking, torturing, mind mining, dream inserting, electronic sleep depriving target individuals 24/7, operating outside the law with complete impunity. The second group are organized stalkers, contract group stalkers, cause stalkers, or gang stalkers working at the street level as foot soldiers, following, leading, and harassing targeted individuals wherever they go out in public globally. And then the third set are unwitting perpetrators, believed to be mind-controlled ordinary citizens that harass targeted individuals on an unconscious level, unaware of their actions, being remotely directed by their own set of handlers. And the handler teams, this is pretty much the highest end of the human experimentation, believed to be composed of a minimum of four people working in 12-hour shifts with two people posted at each shift. Some handler teams will have as many as 6 to 8, as many as 12 team members working in 6 to 8 hour shifts with two people posted at each shift, operating 24/7, 365 days a year. Now, each team will most likely have a computer specialist, as the manipulation of the targeted individual's computer and email are a crucial part of the mind control process. Each team will also likely have a psychologist as well as an electronic specialist for phone tapping and manipulation of the electrical grid of the targeted individual's residence. Handler teams are reportedly deluded into thinking that the ongoing human experimentation tests that they are conducting are for reasons other than that of military research. And it's unlikely that perpetrators will ever come forward to reveal their operations, as it is highly illegal and breaks dozens of laws.
Michael, we're going to come back and continue chatting, and we'll take phone calls with you. And if for some reason anyone has this thought of being tracked or kidnapped, or it's happening to you, check in with us as well.